This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The March to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettillo along with Charlie Long at 545. Steve Geller will join us for our triple option feature at 420 or a little bit after. WWL's TV sports director Doug Mouton will come aboard with us, and we'll talk kind of across the board, Saints, NFL, LSU, Tulane, even a little bit of UNO and what's happening there. And fundraising for UNO, and also what's happening from what he hears on the potential gambling situation that happened at UNO. And at 5:20, the legend himself, Pete Jenkins, will come on with us. Pete will talk about Bo Davis, the new Saints defensive line coach. Bo Davis is a Pete Jenkins protege, and I think other than Ryan Nielsen, I think that Pete probably talks to Bo more than anyone that he has affiliation with. And Pete knows everybody in the business. And I'm not saying they talk every day, but with Ryan, I think that's a every other day situation. So we'll get Pete's take on Bo Davis, also what where he thinks LSU might go, if he wants to tell us that, because I think he's got a little bit better insights than what I do on it. And Kevin Peoples also, who is going to take on a much bigger role now. He coached the defensive ends where Bo Davis coached the defensive tackles and did a tremendous amount of recruiting for him. But I know Coach Jenkins and Kevin Peoples have got to know one another very well over the last couple years. And at 6:25, Ali Cosell, who covers the NBA and the Pelicans, he'll be on with us. And it's a four-game road trip, Charlie, for the Pels. Back-to-back games against the Suns, but certainly the big news today, Bo Davis, who has coached before in the NFL. He had a one-year kind of run in Jacksonville, and he had a couple seasons with the Detroit Lions. And I remember him coming to the Louisiana Lion Camp, and he was with the Lions at that time and talking to me about the difference between college and pro football. And one thing with Bo, he's all about, hey, I'm a teacher. I learned that from Coach Jenkins. This is about teaching. I'm in the classroom. I'm teaching. I'm on the football field teaching. Coaching is teaching and also motivation. So we'll get Pete's take on that, but certainly big news today. Bo Davis, the new defensive line coach with the New Orleans Saints.
Well, LSU fans are not very happy, and Saints fans should be very happy. Bo Davis is fantastic, Mike. I remember when we talked with Pete when Bo Davis made the move from Texas to LSU. Pete said he's one of his favorites. Pete's a legendary defensive line coach. We always talk about, you know, his incredible, illustrious career every time we get him on. But Pete loves Bo, and he talks about how hard-nosed and tough he is. But he's, as you mentioned, he's a teacher when it comes down to it.
Charlie, I'll be honest with you. They have people that covered University of Alabama maybe for the last 15 years, and they will tell you there's been nobody close to Bo Davis and how he coached at University of Alabama and got the most out of his players. That's high praise. When you hear that from people kind of outside the realm, but what Bo did with that group at University of Alabama, that group of defensive linemen. And one thing I do know, man, when you coach for Coach Saban, you better have a thick hide, because he gets on you, but good. And, man, Pete's got some unbelievable stories about how Saban will not only jump players, but who he really jumps? Assistant coaches.
And the work that he did with Texas as well, yeah. Mike. I mean, getting Texas ready to be an SEC school when their toughness in the trenches. The one word that comes to mind when you think of Bo Davis as far as everyone's opinion of him is respect. He is so highly respected in NFL circles and college football circles and media circles. Anyone that knows the guy will speak highly of him. So it's a very exciting hire for the Saints. Bo Davis, for those that don't know, he's actually had a couple different stops in the NFL. So this isn't his first one. You mentioned he spent a couple years with Detroit from 2018 through 2020 as the defensive line coach. You know, also spent time with Jacksonville in 2016, a little bit before that, Miami in 2006. But what he's most well known for, as you mentioned, he spent a couple different stints with Alabama, with Texas, and most recently with LSU as well. So he's been around the block, Mike.
And it hurts him on the recruiting trail.
Yeah, that's the one thing.
That's the big kick.
And my question about Bo making the jump back to the NFL is, was he kind of tired of like the new era of college recruiting?
I would say that's a yes,
because
Charlie.
That really would make sense. I mean, he's known for being a fantastic recruiter, but the transfer portal and the new era of NIL must have made it so difficult for him.
Yeah,
so,
no question.
Now he's back in the NFL circle.
And I doubt seriously he's making the money he was making at LSU. He was the highest paid defensive line coach in college football. I think he may have taken that pay cut to go to the NFL, but you know, you have no free time in college football. You're around college football coaches, it's 365. It's 24/7, day and night, and you're re-recruiting the same players over and over and over again. Now, as an NFL coach, it's a lot of time you spend, especially during the football season, at the facilities. But you do have some off time, and you do at least kind of know who you're coaching. But for it's day-to-day, so to speak, in college football that you can drag up and go somewhere else. I was reading on 3 Sports that the starting cornerback from Tennessee yesterday decides, I'm leaving. I'm going in the transfer portal.
We've talked with college baseball coaches, we've talked with college basketball coaches, and we've talked with college football coaches, Mike, and they all say the same thing. You don't have to just recruit players from other rosters. You have to keep recruiting the players that are on your roster. So that's got to be tiring for some of these coaches. I understand the move to hop back into the NFL. As I mentioned, Saints fans should be excited with this, Mike. Bo Davis, by all accounts, is fantastic at what he does, and that's teach defensive line play.
And I do think that you're going to see a familiar face with him from time to time at some of these mini camps.
And Mr. Pete Jenkins.
He's white-haired. He's 83 years old. But the one thing with Papa Pete, he's going to retire when they lay him away, as he always tells me. When they're going to lay me down for the last time, that's when I'm going to retire. So I do think you'll see Pete Jenkins working with Bo. He also is going to work with the LSU guys, too. He has gotten to be real close with Kevin Peoples, and I think now Kevin's probably going to get that title of defensive line coach, and they'll hire someone else to come in to be coaching, especially the interior defensive line.
Right, because Coach Peoples worked with the edge rushers, and he was credited a lot for Savion and Braden's development this past year with LSU. So, yeah, I would agree. I think he probably gets the promotion of full-time defensive line coach, but they will bring in maybe a specialist for interior guys because Bo was kind of more of the interior working. But I remember, you know, Coach Kelly talked a lot about Coach Peoples. So for the LSU fans out there that are really upset about this, Coach Peoples is a fantastic coach in his own right. They had two really great defensive line coaches this past year with Bo Davis and Kevin Peoples. Bo's making the jump. Peoples is staying put.
Yeah, and they finally got a little bit of talent to surround the coaches. So you're a lot, and Bo was one of them to tell you, I'm a lot smarter coach when I got better talent. And it looks as though they were accumulating that. But again, congratulations to Bo Davis, the new defensive line coach for the New Orleans Saints. We'll take a break and come back. We'll have on with us Doug Mouton from WWL Television. Talk to him about Saints, LSU, Tulane, UNO right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, Sports Director at WWL Television, Doug Mouton. Douglas, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Of course, Mike. How have you been?
I'm doing great. I just saw you a week ago, so you knew I was kicking a little bit. So we all good.
But you know what? You can never get too much Mike Cecilia.
Yeah, right. Doug, before we get into Saints stuff, I'll ask you, because we don't know the ends of this, on what happens at UNO with the probe into the gambling situation. What maybe have you been able to find out over the last couple of days about this? Because, you and I sort of both lived with this situation with Ned Fowler and Hot Rod.
Yeah.
Was involved at Tulane and that sort of thing. And all the time, I've told this to Charlie, most of the time this gets caught initially by Vegas people. They see something a little bit out of the ordinary. It isn't the local FBI or anything like that. This is something that they spot somewhere. So kind of give us a little bit of insights of what you maybe know.
Yeah, I can tell you, Mike, I have not been able to find out much at this point. Honestly, most of the people from my era of UNO are not at UNO anymore. But you're 100% right about that. There have been betting scandals and then even near betting scandals that are all found out sort of in Las Vegas by in-house people who study numbers of how people are betting. And if there's anything suspicious, and I'm not exactly sure what kind of algorithms they use to figure that out, but if there's anything suspicious that on this end, I'd be willing to bet money that by the time it comes out, the investigation was originated by people taking the bets. And of course, it's almost always impossible to keep things quiet when more than one or two people are involved. I wish I could give you some insight, Mike. I'm just getting back from Pensacola. A friend of mine won an award last night, so I've been in Pensacola for the last 2 days. So beyond what you know, I don't know a lot.
Going to the Saints now, and this isn't a surprise to me, them reaching into the college ranks for assistant coaches. I know a lot of them, assistant coaches, and they say, man, this is the Wild Wild West today. And they would much rather take the pay cut, which I think, in fact, I'm pretty certain about this. Bo Davis took a pay cut to go from LSU to the Saints. Bo Davis was the highest paid defensive line coach in college football. The Saints are not making him that type of offer, but you see it now. Peter Sermon, you saw Terry Joseph. We see it with Bo Davis, and Bo did have some prior time in the NFL with the Lions, also with the Jacksonville Jaguars. But your thoughts, one, on Bo Davis, who's a Pete Jenkins protege, and we'll have Pete on at 5:20, and I know how close they are together.
Oh, that's nice.
And
that's
so
good timing with Pete.
Yeah, and so, no, he called me this morning because Steve Geller got in touch with me. He said, Mike, what you want to do in the Bo Davis thing? By the time I could get my cell to get Pete had already called me because I'd scheduled it for Monday.
Yeah.
I'd scheduled it for Monday. He said, you want me today or you want me Monday? I said, hold on a second. Today, 5:20. But, Doug, I think we've seen it now. Wild Wild West of college athletics. Not just football, but across the board.
And look, here's the one thing that I say every time I talk about Saints, I start with this because I feel like I need to. There is no guarantee that Kellen Moore is going to have success and he's going to win games and the Saints are going to play in NFC Championship games again. There's no guarantee. But I say that off the bat because there's no guarantee he's going to win, but I love everything that the way the Saints handled it. And I know, man, people love ripping into Mickey Loomis, but I love the way he handled it from the start. And look, the big thing to me, Mike, was I thought the Saints got exactly what they needed in Kellen Moore. The Saints are almost sort of an old, stodgy organization, and I don't mean in people's age. I just mean in sort of a thinking sense that they've run it the same way for a long time. They preach patience. They preach, we're going to take our time and get it right, all of that. So what that organization needed, though, was a young person and new ideas, and they got both. And then what you're seeing out of Kellen Moore, and I like every step of the way in his coaching staff. Look, the one thing I think is the most important thing to do from his standpoint, is to bring in a complete diversity of ideas. You want young and old and college and pro and every way that you can find different people and different smart people and bring them in a room. Look, I love Doug Nussmeier as the offensive coordinator, a guy that's in his mid-50s that has been with him, so he's loyal, but he'll also be sort of the voice of reason of the older guy. He's got the former head coach as his defensive coordinator, and yes, he's going to bring ideas from college. I love the Terry Joseph hire. I love the Bo Davis hire. Like, bring in different ideas from different places. I like everything. Again, no guarantee it's going to work, but I like everything that he's done and the way he's done it. And honestly, that whole process for me started with sort of how Mickey Loomis handled it. They had the one thing I wanted to see out of this whole process was somebody who had never coached in the building. Now, I loved Aaron Glenn, and that would have been a spectacular hire. But to have a guy who's 36 years old, and he's the oldest 36-year-old you ever met. He's plenty mature enough to handle the job, it would seem. And so they brought in the young ideas, the young guy, never in the building, and his staff. Look, there's stars on his staff. The one thing we've said in the last couple of years when you go to training camp, if you look at Dennis Allen's staff, there weren't many guys you would have picked out and said, that guy's a future head coach. But now you're looking at the staff already that Kellen Moore has put together, and you're seeing a lot of guys who, you know, can be more than what their job is.
Doug, the other thing about it is, and it starts today at the Combine, we get to see the offensive, defensive linemen, the guys that are deciding to work out, and this is an area the Saints have to get better at. You got to win in the trenches. And I think Super Bowl Sunday taught everybody the lesson that as good as Mahomes is, man, when you're running for your life, you got troubles. And the Eagles' ability to run the football, big men up front, moving people around, and that stat that they led the NFL in attempted rushes and will last in the NFL in attempted passes goes to show you it was an old school, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. Now, I think there's one caveat in there, and it's a guy, I went through this a lot. We did our mock draft, and I got the Saints going for Tyler Warren. I just think he's a special big man receiver.
Yeah.
And some of the guys defensively that I would have wanted were off the board when I got to nine. And so I would love to get Mason Graham, but he's not going to be there. I thought about Jaylen Walker, but I got him going to Carolina. Your thoughts on the rebuilding of this team?
Yeah, well, look, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I think 90% of the talk has been about Derek Carr and what they're doing at quarterback. And I'm not diminishing the quarterback position, but for right now, it is definitely not what I would consider my primary concern or what I think the Saints' primary concern should be. Because no matter who you're playing at quarterback, they cannot exist in the offensive line that the Saints have right now. Look, you got to go eight deep on the offensive line. That's a fact in the NFL. Eight guys are going to want to play in significant snaps in the NFL. And right now, I think the Saints have three offensive linemen. Trevor Penning potentially could be four, especially in Kellen Moore's offense that you think is going to try to run the ball a lot. That does play to Penning's strength. So maybe you got four. That means you need four offensive linemen. Last year, the Saints went into the season with Lucas Patrick as a starting offensive lineman. And look, he was the best guy on the team. But the fact is, he was a free agent for 3 months and nobody signed him. That doesn't happen in the NFL unless there's a reason for that. Now, if that guy's your seventh or eighth guy, you can live with that. But that guy was a starting offensive guard. And then Ali Udo, who was sort of the same thing, a free agent that nobody had signed, that the Saints signed later, wound up, I think Ali Udo played the fourth most snaps of any Saints offensive lineman because of the way the injuries worked out. There's no hope for sustained success with that kind of offensive line. So to me, let's take this year, get better on the offensive line, hopefully get better on the defensive line at the same time. And if you find a quarterback, if something works out, that's great. Worry about the quarterback problem next year when you've got 2 years of building. That's just sort of how I'm looking at this team, that you've got to start up front. And the Saints were so weak on the offensive line. Three potentially great players. It's a good start, but then two of them are out. And it was just a situation where you just couldn't win, and what they had backing up those guys was just not going to allow you to win.
I look at it from the college ranks. It isn't make or break, so to speak, for Brian Kelly at LSU, but it's you better get into the top 12. You better get into the playoff system. But we got the star coach in New Orleans, and it's John Sumrall and what he's been able to do. I didn't think they could hire a guy that was going to be on Willie Fritz's level as far as a coach.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Man, but I think they got one better. I think at John, man, Coach John has done a fantastic job.
Yeah, no question.
And Doug, is his ability to recruit and adjust very quickly to certain things, and we have our Tulane Tuesday every week, and he told me something a couple times that stuck with me about how he recruited, and he said sometimes we'll have a 4 or 5 star recruit that, you know, Tulane's sort of down on the list for them. They have an interest, but they're not coming here the first time. But he said, I want to make that connection because if things don't work out, I can always say, hey, we were trying to recruit you. It wasn't us. You decided, but we got a spot for you.
Yeah, I think that's the most modern recruiting technique of all time or what?
Yes.
Like, that is playing to today's situation. Yeah, look, John Simrall's been spectacular. And honestly, I thought there was a great chance he was going to be one and done this year and wasn't going to be coming back. The fact that he's coming back is awesome. Yeah, look, Willie Fritz did not leave the cupboard bare by any stretch. And what Willie Fritz built is incredibly impressive. I mean, look, Mike, you and I have lived here, me, for almost all of my life.
Yep.
And, like, there, just the fact that you can say now Tulane is expected to be in the conference championship conversation, that was like a 30-year span when you could never say that. And or maybe you'd get one blip here or there. We're going to be going on, 4 straight years where that's the expectation. And that's, I mean, Willie Fritz did that. So when you say he's better than Willie Fritz, I'm not ready to say that after 1 year yet. Now, I will say he has been amazing, and the fact that they're keeping him is great. And what he did was he took what Willie Fritz had, and he built a team out of the parts he had, and he used them extremely well. Brought in some speed at the outside, which made the running game work. You know, he had a functional offensive line, which was a beautiful thing. And he did a great job of coaching that team. I mean, Tulane football is nothing like what it was 10 years ago. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's entertaining. And they're competing for conference championships. And that's what they're expected to do now.
Doug, Mike and I talked about this a lot yesterday. Derek Carr, you mentioned kind of how the trenches are more important, and I agree with you, but the money situation's where this gets kind of tricky, because the $51.4 million cap number for this upcoming year is the fourth highest in the NFL. You know, Cat Terrell had a great article on ESPN yesterday talking about if they restructure it, a full restructure, yes, you could save $30 million in cap this year, but then his cap hit jumps up to $69 million in 2026.
Yeah, either way, you got to pay it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You got to pay it at some point, and it feels just like another move. Like, the term kick the can down the road gets overused, but it's pretty apt here, and Mike and I agreed. I want to get your thoughts on it. It just doesn't seem like the best financial decision.
No. I think they're going to want to be eating that number regardless. Look, in the greatest, most ideal scenario, the Saints would find a trade partner, and I said what would be funny is what that trade might look like, because to get just because of that enormous contract, it might be Derek Carr and a 4, and you get a 6. You know what I mean? Like, it might be the craziest trade you've ever seen, but that would look. And I don't think that's going to happen. It seems unlikely. Obviously, I think that would be the best thing for the Saints, because you would get rid of that number. And either way, by the time this team's ready to win, Derek Carr is not going to be the quarterback. He's just not. That's the it's not lining up, you know, that way. So you can play him this year. I guess you could bench him this year. I don't know if that works. You know, there's a thing about cutting him after June, but you're still got to get under the cap now. Yeah, it's a rough situation. It's why I keep saying just manage expectations for 2025. Look, people seem to be really excited about Kellen Moore. What I don't want to happen is that the Saints go, 6-11, and then people give up too fast. Like, 2025, because of those kind of problems, is going to be an incredibly difficult year. I don't know if they can figure out a way to sign any free agent offensive linemen. So hopefully you draft a couple of guys, but the offensive line may not be much better. So winning this year is going to be really hard. And so I don't know the best solution, because there is not one that seems good, other than if you can find a trade partner. And again, I acknowledge that's a long shot.
No easy way out, Doug. No easy way out of this.
Yeah. And Mike, they knew this last year.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't sign anyone beyond 1 year. They gave Chase Young 1 year. They gave Willie Gay 1 year. They didn't invest last year to put them more in a hole. It's just that the hole was already so big that they're still digging out of it.
Doug, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time. Hope you had a good time out in Florida. But now you got to get back to work, and you got to go cover Mardi Gras.
There you go.
I'll be in Baca Sunday night. I can't wait.
All righty. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Mike.
Doug Mouton, sports director at WWL TV Channel 4 here in New Orleans. Come back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Want to thank Doug Mouton for joining us for a few minutes talking Saints, certainly, and also college football. Charlie, really sad news coming from LSU as it was confirmed that the LSU freshman pole vaulter Dylan Reidenauer died in a car crash Wednesday night in Baton Rouge. She was 18 years old. Ugh. And, hearts and prayers go out when you lose somebody that young. Man, you think about their family immediately, mom and dad and all friends. And so we do have people here that brought it up to me. And, I didn't know Dylan at all, but I do remember when signed on, so to speak, at LSU. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to the Reidenauer family for the loss of Dylan in a just terrible car crash. 18 years old to lose your life. Our thoughts and prayers go out with her. Charlie, we were talking a little bit about the combine, and the big men were running today, and I saw Cam Jackson, who is from Hainesville, Louisiana, was a verbal commit to Coach O and LSU. He had a grade problem or two, and finally he signs on with Memphis late, spent a couple years there. Then Billy Napier was trying to get him to go to UL when he was there, and so he signs with Florida. I don't know what his weight was. The last time I saw him, he was over 350 pounds. I think he has lost some weight. Charlie, if I saw right, he ran a 5.18 40-yard dash. Listen, that's the fastest I've ever seen him run. Right. You talk about a big man that can move. Cam Jackson is that. From Hainesville, Louisiana, and he bounced around a little bit. And had he had his grades right, he would have been able to get in at LSU. It just didn't work out there. But sometime God puts you in the right place, right time. Goes to Memphis. Then he follows Billy to University of Florida. And, man, talk about a big man athlete. Cam is that. He can run, and he is a big hoss in the middle.
Yeah, a lot of defensive linemen are currently actually getting their times right now, Mike. Derek Harmon, who's someone that you had kind of in the back end of your first mock, just put on a 4.97 in his first 40-yard dash attempt.
Who did that?
Derek Harmon.
Oh, that don't surprise me. And when we get Pete on, we're going to check. Pete has worked at University of Oregon. Now, Derek was a transfer guy. He started out at Michigan State. Derek Harmon's the one guy, Charlie, I told you, every pick, like the last nine for me, it was Derek Harmon or
Yeah, a lot of those teams could use interior defensive line help, and obviously Derek Harmon is one of those guys.
He's like, a big
loaded
man.
Class,
he's a big man in the middle.
And he also runs a sub-5 in the 40-yard
dash. So if you mess with him and you try to run away from him, you got issues.
Because yeah, exactly.
He can also catch you on that end. And a lot of the guys, we also saw a couple guys pull out because of hamstring issues that they had that was caught. Now, you never go through a physical like you will at the combine. Man, they got anything body part on you, they've checked it out. And so we've had some of them decide not to run. And the news on Abdul Carter,
Boy,
the other agents, are they going to beat the drum on this? And I just tell everybody, be careful. They want to try to get him to drop. Man, listen, he ain't getting past the third pick. He most likely will go 2 because I think Cam Ward goes 1. But, man, these agents will beat the drum about, man, y'all got damaged goods with Abdul Carter? Yeah, he got a little issue, but it's not a major one.
And if he gets past the third pick, then he's going with the 4th pick to the Patriots. Like, this is all ridiculous. It's Abdul Carter. He's one of the 3 blue-chip prospects in this class. He's not falling past, you know, pick 3. And Mike, real quick, we do have NFL just tweeted this about an hour ago. The 40-yard dash official for the 2025 defensive lineman, Ty Robinson from Nebraska, leads the way, a 4.83 at his size.
Charlie, I'm going to be honest with you. I know the guy that works him out. He told me he's run sub 4.8.
Wow.
Now, again, this does not tell you if he can play, because I think with Ty, at times he gets caught in certain spots. I don't think he's the most instinctive guy in the world. But, man, is he an athlete.
Now, the 2 guys that I know can play are right smack dab in the middle of this list, Mike. And that's Derek Harmon, as I mentioned, a 4.95, and Darius Alexander from Toledo, a 4.95 as well. They both tied for 5th on this ranking. So a couple guys I think could see hear their name called pretty early in the 2025 draft.
Halfway into the 2024 season, we were doing the pregame for LSU. And Herb Tyler tells me, tell me a guy I don't know nothing about that you think will end up maybe being a first-round pick. I said, Darius Alexander from Toledo. He said, Toledo? I said, yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell.
I said, Quinyon got picked in round 1. He said, yeah, but Mike, a big man, why did he stay? I was like, well, maybe they got some NIL money that kept him at Toledo. But you could tell his progression as a player, every week when you watched him, he got better and better. He goes to the combine. He was kicking everybody's rear end there. And so for him to put on a show like that in Indy, that don't surprise me.
Mike, he's an older prospect, too.
Yes, he is. 25.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a guy that NFL ready. We talk about that all the time. And he's going to go in the back end of
the
first round.
Very mature.
Go in the back end of the first round to a team that needs defensive line help, and he's going to help them right off the bat. So Darius Alexander, but a very nice kind of showing at the combine early on, kind of proving himself as a future first-round pick.
That's one of those guys that if you pick in a fight and think you're going to run away from him, you better be a track sprinter because he's that type of guy. And he's put up some really nice numbers every week he was double-teamed, every week at Toledo. I knew if I was playing Toledo and I had to block him, it wasn't going to be with one guy. It was going to be 2 every snap. We'll be back to finish it up here in hour number 1 of Sports Talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here in hour number 1 of Sports Talk on the Big 870. Want to thank Doug Mouton from Channel 4 WWL Television for joining us talking Saints college football, also UNO basketball at 5:20. The legend himself, Pete Jenkins, will join us talking about Bo Davis becoming the new Saints defensive line coach and also about everything defensive line since those guys are testing out today at the NFL Combine out in Indy. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.